In 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
Are you hungry? Get all you can eat at the Android Buffet. We release once a week and discuss all things Android. Now, here's Guru and Jerry.
And thank you, Susan.
Oh my gosh, is another week gone by already?
Yes, in fact, this is actually the first time I've been in my office since last week. I have changed my duties, so I am not working from home for at least a few weeks, so my office has been shut down.
Shut down entirely.
Well, the microphone was still out on the desk. I unpack it for the show, and then I pack it away.
Wow.
Well, pack is relative. I put it on a shelf, and when I'm recording, I pull it onto the desktop. But I have not been in my office because my new schedule has been draining me, so I've been going to bed.
Oh.
And trying to get some more sleep. Well, I find excessive sleep is the best way to adapt to a new time schedule.
See, I don't do that. I if I have to really whack my sleep schedule, I have to do an all-nighter, stay up completely, just, and then crash at the next, it's time to go to bedtime.
Well, we all have ways that work for us, but it usually takes me over a week to adapt myself, so I should be set, and this schedule may persist for a while, so I was working later, and now I'm working earlier. So.
It's always harder to adjust to getting up earlier.
But it's nice, though, because of all those podcasts I'm behind on that I want to listen to, I now have a commute.
Cool.
So,
speaking of podcasts, and oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, it's a big week. We got how many voicemails this week?
Well, it depends. We had 2 voicemails from the same person, so if you're going by people, we had 2. If you were going, if you're going by number of voicemails, 3.
Okay.
One person left 2 voicemails.
But we had 3 calls to the voicemail line.
Yes, I'm very excited about this.
Ooh, when are we going to do those? Now or later?
Well, I thought
we're going to do some news.
I thought we would do some news and then we would go into the voicemails.
Oh, dude, you're killing me! I'm so excited about the voicemails. But okay, what do we got for news?
Okay, well, Android was in Newsweek. Did you see that lovely cover that they had?
I did not see the Newsweek cover.
Well, what they did, they
had pictures. What is Newsweek?
It's a magazine. That's what they had before people used to read things on the internet and blogs.
Magazine, you say?
Yes. What would happen is you would give these people money, and once a week or a month, depending on what type of magazine it was, you would get this thing in the mail that was full of paper, and it would have printed words on it and articles. So it was like a printed version of a blog.
A printed, but why? How do you read the comments?
You wait till the next issue. They send them to you the next month.
Wow. I guess that's why they called it snail mail.
Yes.
Okay, so is Newsweek important?
Well, it is still considered an important magazine, and you can find it online, of course. The article is linked in the show notes. There were some interesting notes there. Google estimates that if they can get just $10 per user per year in ad revenue, which seems certainly possible, and revenue from related sales, that could amount to $10 billion if their projections for the number of smartphones grow to 1 billion, which is where they think it's going to be for Android-based phones.
I'd say that's an understatement because Google owns AdMob, and AdMob is one of the big Android advertising platforms. So $10 per user per year, piece of cake.
Well, the idea is that is something that they could really shoot for. And if you ask why is Google putting all this money into a free operating system that anybody could download and install on their device without paying Google, there's your answer. They're getting eyes.
Yep.
Eyes are important.
And with AdMob, they're also getting the ads that show up in the free apps. So, yes,
and those were the eyes to which I was referring.
Well, I think they also get, when you hit the Google search, you also get ads in those search results.
Yes.
So I think $10 per user would not be difficult.
Yes, well,
of course, maybe we are unusual users.
Yes, well, I am hoping to someday get $10 per user on Android Buffet. Now, if each person gave us $10 per user per year, we have an average of 200 listeners, and that would be a nice chunk of change.
See, 10 times 200... That would be $2,000.
You have to start somewhere.
I wouldn't mind it. I'd appreciate it.
Trust me, you'd get your cut. 50% right. After fixed costs.
After fixed
costs. I'm saying it on the air so nobody can say that I didn't.
Well, at least that's better than 50% after variable cost.
We have variable costs?
Well,
most of our costs are fixed because there's a monthly hosting fee for hosting a site. There are
an old joke that 50% of it never agreed to a percentage of profits because profits can always be manipulated.
Yes, well, I always deduct what it actually costs to do the work. I'm not factoring in the fact I bought a mixing board.
Oh, so you're going to be honest.
I feel I'm an honest person. If we mutually agreed to consider something fixed costs, then of course I would consider it that way. Remember, we're having this discussion so that people can know we're above the board and honest people.
Above the board.
Speaking of payments, though, the Street reports that Google will enable PayPal payments on its market next month.
I am interested to see how this will work, and I'm hoping that it will greatly increase the number of people using or actually purchasing apps, because let's be honest, there are more people with PayPal accounts than there are with Google checkout accounts.
I don't know. Which do you prefer in terms of ease of use?
Well, as far as buying something on the phone, Google works perfectly okay because it's already tied in and I just hit okay, but I already have Google checkout set up. If there's a way to use PayPal. There's a lot of people using PayPal. Yeah.
So it goes back to what I was referring to as eyes. Essentially, the more people, the more options, the better it is for everyone. But an announcement on that could come as early as the PayPal Developers Conference on October 26th. Now, I didn't know there was one of those. Have you ever heard of the PayPal's Developers Conference?
Yes. I've spoken to developers at PayPal. Yes.
No, I knew they had developers. I didn't know they had a conference.
Well, yes. PayPal is it's a little sub industry. I mean, it's the thing everybody needs. The user has money, or the client has money. The company wants the money. PayPal is the way that it goes. I mean, the scale of PayPal is way beyond what your average person expects.
Well, moving on, Engadget showed a welcome packet sent to prospective app developers for the Amazon App Store. DRM will not be required, but it will be available. Offensive content will not be permitted, and you'll get to do developer videos, which, of course, you can't do on Google, which surprises me that they offer, a limit of 2 screenshots and no developer videos, very limited in terms of the way that you can do comments and other information. And Amazon is hoping to have their packaging tool ready in a few weeks.
I am very excited about that. I know a lot of people aren't, but I personally am.
Well, Amazon has shown, as I know that we discussed before, that they can sell stuff. So that's pretty much the gist of it. If they can sell apps, so much more the power to them.
Selling the apps. It's Amazon. Amazon sells stuff because when you go to Amazon, you can find stuff. You can not only find the stuff that you're looking for, but you can also find stuff that you aren't looking for that you are interested in. They've got that whole cross-selling thing down.
Yeah, so they're going to do pretty well. If they want to sell something, in this case apps, they're going to do pretty well with it.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, and one other thing in regards to Android that I wanted to put up. There was a Q&A with Andy Rubin, who would be...
Who is this Andy Rubin fella?
The first developer of Android. You know, pretty much done a lot of interesting things. Did you get a chance to read that?
No, I didn't.
It's a PC
Vice President of Engineering at Google.
Yes, pretty much one of the key people in the Android development. Now, it's a multi-page article by Sasha Segan of PC Magazine. And he is referred to in the article as the commanding general of the Android army. And he founded Android before it was acquired by Google. Also helped invent the Sidekick.
There's a dubious honor.
Well, you have to start somewhere. So he's essentially been talking about all sorts of things such as versions, customization, consumers, carriers. Essentially, it's a very interesting article. I'm not going to read it out, but I thought it was worth putting in. And let's see.
Here's an interesting question.
Yes.
That he answers. You can still buy phones today that come with Android 1.5 and 1.6, which to me seems asinine. One of the questions is whether there's an advantage for an OEM to use an older version. And he just lays it out there. There's no advantage to the OEM of using an older version. And I'd say there's a consumer disadvantage. Do you think they'll ever listen? Do you think they'll stop distributing those Android versions that are just archaic? And I guess archaic's a little silly to say, considering Android's only been in existence for a couple of years, but...
Well, they probably won't, but I think that everybody will start to settle in the 2.0 range, which at least most of us can live with.
Yes.
Because that's when they really started to get things together, and the next version will continue to do that. Because now they've pretty much gotten the base down, now they're starting to really tie up some of the loose ends.
Yes.
And I have a sad story from the Google universe. 1-800-GOOG-411 is going to close.
Oh.
Do you use that, Terry?
I used it a couple times. But as I understand it, that was really just a... It was something they were using to collect data to improve their voice recognition.
Yes, but it was useful. What I found really funny is a few days before this story broke, my mother finally started using it. I had put it into her phone because she kept using Verizon 411, and it offended me on one level because she has a phone with a search function in it. She could just search for it. And two, because it costs a lot of money for 411.
I know on Sprint, they charge like $1.79 or $1.29 per usage of 411.
It's about the same on Verizon, and 1-800-GOOG-411 is free. And she has a Google phone now, but she still uses 411.
See, yeah, I'm at the point, now that I have an Android phone with the internet on it, I have no need to call 411.
Yes, well, it's still sad. Very useful tool, and I don't think that they should necessarily abandon those people who wish to search by phone. But that is their decision, and it's the end of an era, and certainly we did get a lot out of it because that's what their entire voice recognition algorithm is pretty much tuned on.
Yes, it is.
Yes. In other news, I got the first Google voice message I've ever gotten where every single word was correct on the transcription.
No.
Yes. So I told that person that...
Was it Susan calling you?
No. It was somebody I know. They were calling me to ask me if I wanted to go to lunch with them. The entire message was completely correct. And this has never happened before. They were very amused when I told them.
Well, I'd call that success. Yeah. Maybe that's why they're shutting down the 411, because... Yeah, they got it.
It doesn't work for everyone, though. But some people, I guess, just have good voices.
Enunciators.
Yes, we must enunciate so that you can hear the individual words of our sentences.
Okie dokie. Next on the news list, what do we got?
Verizon is launching 4G LTE. And they plan to deploy to 285 million by 2013. What we're missing are actual devices, but they'll be coming in the next round.
And so, are you covered in that list?
New York is covered. They're also doing something smart, which is they're deploying it at airports. So people who are going to buy the USB modems for computers, those are business travelers, and they're deploying it at airports.
They're deploying it to more airports than they are cities.
Well, airports are fairly easy. They're small, contained spaces where they can put these towers. Although, I heard somebody saying that they aren't deploying it to Detroit due to Canadians, which I thought was amusing. Apparently, the frequency that's used for it is also apparently used by a Canadian broadcaster.
Yeah.
So they can't use that frequency because it would interfere with the broadcast.
Okay, this is a little bit of a rant on Sprint. Dallas is a 4G town for Sprint. And it's going to be an LTE town for Verizon as well.
Yes.
But if you look at the Sprint 4G map for Dallas.
Yes.
It's almost entirely 4G, except for one little spot, which is the Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport.
Is it on the list for... it is on the list for Verizon. They are going
to... It's on the list for Verizon.
And they're doing my favorite airports, you know, LaGuardia, Kennedy, Norman Y. Mineta.
Norman who? What?
Sorry, just wanted to see if you were paying attention. Norman Y. Mineta is the name of the airport in San Jose. I have this thing about naming things after people who aren't dead. It bothers me. For years, I refused to call National Airport in Washington Reagan Airport because at the time they named it, he was still alive.
He's a national hero, dude.
It's just the principle of naming public projects after people before they're dead. I'm against it.
Okay.
So that's just one of my things. But it's a really good list, and I think they're going about it right because they're, Sprint is doing it in smaller markets and then moving up to larger markets, whereas Verizon is targeting a lot of big markets. And that's where they're going to get the most traction.
Yes. Putting it in airports is extremely intelligent.
You know, I may disagree with Verizon. In fact, Verizon showed up at my house today, uninvited.
Did they give you extra bandwidth?
Well, actually, they may, because they came to my door to tell me that the entire neighborhood is messed up, and they've decided that they're going to rip out and redo the whole neighborhood telephone wiring. So the whole infrastructure needs to be upgraded. So I looked at them, and I had to sign a form saying that they had told me this. And I said, well, does this mean if you're rewiring the area that I get Fios? The guy said, probably. He's almost certain. So I may have Fios next year.
That rocks, man.
And I have to decide if I'm going to dump Time Warner as my cable company. They are not currently my internet provider. I do have internet provisioned over the phone line. So it's probably good that I won't be working at home for a bit because I might have some problems with my internet while they're installing the new wires. But
that's good news.
I'm very happy, and I'm tempted to spend some time this evening looking at the Verizon Fios TV package. I know they're internet packages, but I want to see how it compares and, you know, just sit there and fantasize about the day where I might actually get good quality.
35 up, 35 down. That'll be nice.
Yes, and on the television side, while Time Warner in New York actually has more channels than anybody else, so I would lose some high-def stuff.
Yes, but Time Warner does a whole bunch of... they copy once all their stuff, don't they?
Yeah, and Verizon is apparently much more liberal about it. From what I hear, they don't.
Correct. So that would mean a little bit of Seton Infinity V4 cartage would be good for you.
Yes, I've been thinking about that. And as you know, I am just as much of a home theater PC enthusiast as you are. I don't know how you measure degrees of that, but we're at least equal, if not one of us more obsessive than the other. But that's very exciting for me.
I would be too, because I mean, if you have Time Warner, there's really no point in getting a cable car tuner.
Yes, and with Time Warner, I have a lot of workarounds, whereas Verizon, I may lose some things, but I think I'm going to gain more in the end in terms of quality. The only downside is if I switch over to Verizon for internet, then I have to dump the company I've been loyal to, which is a Verizon reprovisioner. Now, they are offering fiber to the premises, which is their version of Fios, where if you have Fios service from Verizon, they will still provision you under their service, except then you can't get TV. I don't know why, but so I may have to get Verizon to bill everything to me. But we'll see what happens with that. I'll keep you posted.
Congratulations and good luck with that.
Yes, good internet service is very important, but I would lose my static IP address. I could live with that.
Yep.
Dynamic DNS. And I have a tip, speaking of little things a little off topic, for those with Gmail that happened to come up in my list of tips this week. You can add a plus and any combination of words or numbers after your username or dots anywhere in the username, and they'll all go to your account. But by using them, you can create filters. So you could direct them into mailboxes or use them to keep track of potential spam sources.
This is true. You know, funny story. I got an email from a headhunter, and they sent the email to jerryjones@gmail.com, not jerry.jones.
And I
responded back. I'm like, yeah, hey, what's up? I don't have any experience with the stuff you're talking about. And he's like, no, you shouldn't have got this email. I sent it to Jerry Jones, not jerry.jones. And it took 4 emails for me to for him to finally figure out, and for me to apparent, maybe I just suck at communication, but that's the way Google works. J.E.R.E.J.O. It'll all come to me. It's all the same email address, dude.
What was that?
But no, Google Gmail has always been like that.
Yes, but I think that maybe people didn't know it.
It is a very under-advertised ability. That is
so
true.
I happened to see somebody writing about it, and I thought I would just add it in there. And a few updates this week. Adobe Air is now available for Android. I haven't tried out any Air apps. Have you gotten a chance to?
Groan, no.
Well,
I'm not a big Adobe Air fan.
Well, I want to be fair about it. I just haven't seen anything yet that I want to do. I did see earlier today, although I didn't have a chance to check it out, that apparently AppBrain will allow you to search for Adobe Air apps for Android. So I may do that just to see how an Air app works. And I included links to some videos from the Big Texas Android Barbecue. You can find those in the show notes. More people having Androidy fun without us.
I'm so sad I didn't go.
Maybe next year. We could do a live episode. Along with all the other podcasters.
That would be cool.
Yes. How many Android podcasts are there now? Now that would be an interesting count, the Android podcast census. Because with the popularity of Android, it's growing every day.
I really can't find that many Android. I mean, okay, I do. We do an Android podcast, as you, our loyal and unloyal listeners, may know because you're listening to it.
Yes.
But I really can't find that many. Okay, let's list the ones we know about. We got Android Central.
Yes.
Android Atlas.
Yes.
This Week in Mobile kinda is an Android.
Formerly an Android podcast.
It was. It's now just a mobile. So do we count that one?
Let's give it in there since they do talk about Android, and I think that at least 50% of their host is a Android advocate.
Yeah,
who I have been poking fun at ever since they started doing a show called This Week in Android without actually owning an Android phone.
And that would be Android Ashley.
Yes.
Okay, you've got the
Android Guys.
The Android Guys. I've listened to that one for a while, but it just gets so busy on that. It confuses me.
Well, I had problems with the sound quality. It's very tinny.
Yeah.
So I am told that it is very interesting, but I haven't really gotten into it because it was painful to listen to. Again, for the sound quality, it came in very tinny. I think it's because they're using Blog Talk Radio, but that may just be a thought. Let's see, what else do we have? Let's see.
The Android app addicts.
Yes, well, that's actually one that we just discovered mutually.
They told us about themselves,
Yes,
which is kind of cool. We'll get into that a little bit later.
yes.
I listened to a few of those, and I think that that one is going to stay on my permanent list of shows to listen to. But that
And
pretty
there is
much.
one more that is apparently coming. I hear that the Twit Network is going to do an Android-only show.
They do an and no Android Atlas is CNET.
Yes, but I've heard the Twit Network is going to do one, and Jason Howell, who used to do Android Atlas for CNET, is now a producer at Twit.
Yep.
So I'm not sure if he's going to be doing it, but I know Eileen Rivera, who used to do App Judgment for Revision 3, was preparing something. Since there's a long story behind me complaining they didn't do enough Android stuff and too much iPhone stuff on that show, and she got back to me, so I've kept an eye on her.
All right. Well, I mean, so that's what, six shows?
Yes, but I'm sure there's the Android app show and the Android tech show that are done by the same
Okay.
people.
See, I don't
So,
know those shows.
yes, there are a few others, but some of them I haven't listened to, some of them I just know by name. And I do try to listen to other shows because I want to make sure that the show is distinctive, because I don't want to be
There are
real.
no other shows that quite cover have our twist on things. That is true.
Well, that's what we were trying for. We don't want to be like everyone else. We want to be a little different.
That and we just don't have the resources to be another Android Central.
Well, those guys, they're in part of that network where they have a site for every type of mobile phone.
And they have all the phones.
Yes,
Yep.
well, if anybody wants to send us free stuff to try out, certainly, if you want to send us an app and say, well, we'll give you a free copy, or we'll let you refund it for a longer period, or if you want us, every time I go and review a paid app, but at least I have never actually successfully refunded a single app that I intended to review. Because I've liked them so much, I've kept them. So if you
That's
want to
good.
convince me to review your app, then you may have a confirmed sale. I feel bad though if you were the first person I decided to ask for a refund on, though.
Listen, man, I'll tell you the truth. As a developer myself,
Yes.
if you want to return the application and you can tell me why, what about the app did you not like? Did you have problems? What can I do to make the app any better? I am happy to refund your money and send you an APK over the mail every time I update it. Just feedback is so valuable.
Well,
So
Jerry,
if you're going to review it,
I
then.
promise I'll play more with your app. I wanted to create an official Android Buffet soundboard, but
Then I need to send you a new APK because I've got made some upgrades and stuff to it.
okay, well, because I wanted to be able to set up a soundboard with some of the fun sounds from the show. Susan noises, Jerry noises.
Wow.
Yes, that's actually one of the ones I wanted to make a button of. The wow button. Also the Jerry laugh button.
Do I laugh a lot?
Well, I know that I've been successful as a co-host when I can make you say wow.
That's true.
And if I say something funny, you will probably laugh at it. So
I will
I'm
try
yes,
if
so
I notice that you're trying to be funny.
okay. Well, so you're saying that you've laughed when you didn't think I was funny.
Very rarely.
Okay, well, I'll keep that in mind. I'll try to make sure that all of my humor actually makes you laugh.
I would never fake it with you. It always comes from the heart.
I appreciate that.
So before we lose our listeners, how about we move it on?
Yes, the love fest is over. Well, I did put in some interesting things on voice and video calls because there were some interesting expansions this week. Fring now supports Fring Out for 1 minute. Excuse me, 1 cent a minute calls over any data connection. So that would apply to the Fring app. which you can install. Link mm-hmm. will be in the show notes. And Skype has been expanded beyond Verizon to other carriers. There is only one limitation. In the United States, it is limited to Wi-Fi only, but elsewhere you can get it with mobile data. There is no video yet on that, but there are some complaints that it is processor intensive, and some people have reported crashes.
Yeah. I'm trying to convince my middle daughter to get an Android phone. And the one question she always asks is, does it do video Skype? And I cannot answer in the affirmative yet.
Well, it'll get there. And if you do want to enable calls over 3G in the U.S., somebody has apparently hacked the thing, but I'm sure that won't last for long. And we don't encourage hacking. And finally, if you do want to do video chat across platforms, apparently Tango is very popular and several people gave it good reviews. I have been meaning to try it. I have not yet because I haven't found anybody to tango with.
That's cute.
Yes. But I'm working on it. And I don't have the front-facing camera you do, so they wouldn't be able to see me and have me see them at the same time. So maybe I will go and put the camera on a little stand and put up a sock puppet or something.
I wonder if you could do something like with a couple of mirrors and like mount it on the top of your phone where one of the mirrors drops down in front of the camera and got like a 45 degree angle thing. And it bends it up to go to the, so you could like kind of bend the back camera around to the front.
Well, I was thinking more a fiber optic tube. Have you ever seen those movies where they put in the spy cams, they attach the fiber optic cable?
Yes.
So they can run it through the little hole.
Mm-hmm.
Why couldn't they do that with a phone where you could snap on a little piece of a flexible fiber optic cable and bring it around to the front?
I'm sure that would be used for nothing but evil.
I'm sure it would be used for nothing but evil as well. But if anybody is a manufacturer and thinks it's a good idea, send me a free one and we'll call it even. Anyway, Vlingo had an update, and there's a beta available for Sprint users only. So this time you get it and I don't. Which Yay. Is, they're offering an in-car beta. Now, this is similar to what I was talking about last week. I think it was Start Talking.
Yes.
Where it stays in the background. The nice thing is, this is not always in the background. It's an activated car mode that you can set up. So it's not always monitoring all voice communications. It's only doing it when you activate the car mode.
Did you see what the hey, listen to me command was?
I think it was hey, Vlingo.
Yeah. Hey, Vlingo.
And I believe the response is what's shaken.
That's hilarious.
Yes. And I'm eager to try this one because I like Vlingo.
I love it when developers make their apps with a sense of humor. You know, not so straight-laced. I love that.
Yes, and I do have one other bit of news that I want to mention that just came out earlier today. Another app that we mentioned on the program previously, BuzzVoice, which really confused me, is now completely free. So there was a pro version, now the whole thing has gone to a free model. So I may actually try it now, because I had some hesitations.
Who?
They're saying that it's gone completely free. I had some hesitation about this. That was the thing where it was described as the Pandora for news.
Yeah.
Where it would do background audio and then it would read you a number of news contents. There's right. still a pro version where you can get more content. But apparently it would do text-to-speech on its server and then send you these audio, stream these audio files with your selected news sources out of their limited collection. So I'm now that I don't have to pay money for it, I may actually try it. Because I'm curious to see how they did with that, because I'm not sure.
They're going to have to do something. They're going to have to insert ads into the stream or something, because
I don't mind that. The radio has ads. You know.
Yeah.
So it's not, that's not as bad as some other things that I've seen. Now,
I mean, not just from a being stingy point of view. I just mean, bandwidth and servers cost money.
Yes.
I mean, as you would know.
Yes, I do pay the bills.
So, all right.
And Let's see. What else do we have here?
Are we all excited about Firefox?
Well, not so much. Jury's still out on that. But they do need you to help beta test the Firefox Mobile for Android,
which is now in beta.
And they want you to help make it better. And I don't begrudge a company that wants you to help make it better. In this case, they're nonprofit, so give them a hand if you feel up to it. Otherwise, I'll reserve judgment because, as far as I can see, it's still fairly slow. One other bit of news.
I won't begrudge it that. I mean, when you're in beta and you've got a whole bunch of extra debug code in there and logging and stuff, that it can really slow an app down.
But we'll see what happens once it gets beyond beta. I'm very curious. One other thing, Continental is working on an Android app. I have not seen an airline do an Android app yet, so I'm curious to see how that will work. They reported it on Twitter.
I kind of thought Southwestern would be the first one out with an app.
Well, they did their Ding program for everything that you can run resident, so it's possible. Now, Continental is the first company to say anywhere publicly that they're working on one, and I found it in their Twitter feed, which I've linked in. So they're the first airline to admit that they're working on an Android app, but they're in the midst of a merger, so who knows how long that will take. Somebody may beat them to the punch. And we have something here that you found with the roadmap to lawsuits.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, who's suing who in the mobile business? And we'll include this in the show notes. It is a very complicated diagram with many lines showing who is suing who. Now that's, let's see, RIM is suing Motorola, Motorola is suing Apple, Motorola is also being sued by Microsoft, which is also being sued by somebody else who lives in the house that Jack built.
It's just crazy. This is nuts. There's so many lawsuits being thrown around. It's amazing that any phones get made at all.
Well, not only that, some of these intellectual properties are ridiculous. If you look at some of what these technologies, yes, you know, a technology for the viewing of email, a technology for using a touchscreen, and so on and so forth, some of them are just incredibly general and they should not be accepted as patents.
Well, that's an argument for another day.
Yes, and one that we may require these services.
And one that I'm really not even sure where I sit on.
Well, the question is, can you do a general patent like that? Shouldn't your patents have to be specific? And if they're too general, shouldn't they have a limited shelf life?
Well, patents, by definition, have a limited shelf life.
I'm talking about compared to a standard patent. So shouldn't the ability to have a patent like that be proportional to the specificity of the patent? Patents were meant to encourage innovation, but if you're making your patents to cover all sorts of things that you didn't actually do, use, or otherwise, aren't you going
to... Like I say, an argument for another day.
Okay. And what does that bring us to?
Did you want to talk about Instapaper?
Okay, let's talk about Instapaper. Would you like to tell everyone what Instapaper is? I know we've covered it.
Well, I have not used Instapaper on my Android phone because I'm not aware of an Instapaper app that's worth anything. What I would like to see is a Dauphin plugin for Instapaper. Okay. I know there's one for README Later, right?
Yes. Unfortunately, there is not a Dauphin plugin. And one of the problems with that is that all the Dauphin plugins were written by the Dauphin developers.
Not all of them.
For the most part. There hasn't been a really good third party Dauphin plugin market going on. Well, market is maybe the wrong term, but...
Yeah, they're certainly not as common as one would expect, especially with Dauphin's apparent dominance of the Android browser space. It's like there's the built-in and then of the not built-ins, I think Dauphin pretty much has it locked up.
Well, maybe you'll try one. You could certainly do well with that. And an Instapaper one would not be that hard, as it's pretty much a bookmark and a pop-up.
Yeah.
Now, they do. Instapaper does have an API, which is documented on their site. And I found two that I was looking at. Now, Everpaper is free, very popular, it's solid. There are two things that bother me. It has Instapaper last year put in folder support, which is very important for me organizing things. But Everpaper does not support folders. It also asks for your Gmail credentials, which, while the app got enough reviews that I don't think it's malicious, considering that the phone already has your Gmail credentials, I'm not sure why they need them directly, which is sort of a design question. And the other one I found was InstaFetch, which is the basic version is free, and there is a pro version, which will work for 7 days. After that, you need to subscribe. And subscription is via PayPal, because the developer is Polish, and Poland just got paid apps, so I don't know if the developer will be changing the model. The model for the pro version is $1.99 a year or $3.99 lifetime.
Wow.
And it does offer folder sync, which also includes full screen, night mode, Wi-Fi only for auto sync, and star capabilities, so you can star an item.
Now, some of that may not make sense if you don't know what Instapaper is. Okay. I use Instapaper in Chrome, where I have a bookmarklet and a bookmark. The bookmarklet is labeled read later, where if I'm on a website and it's just a big wall of text that I do want to read, just not now, I click on the read later and it takes that page and ships it over to Instapaper. And then when I get time, I can go to Instapaper and it'll show a list of things that I've saved. And I can either click on the link to go back to the original page, or something I particularly like, you can click on the text and it will do its best to just show you the text of the article. And on an Android app, that would be particularly nice, especially if you use night mode, where it makes the screen black and the text white. It would be
Well, maybe you'll want to try the week free trial of InstaFetch Pro. Now, out of all the ones I tried, several of them, these were the two that came up as best.
I would, yes. And, you know, I think I will look into the Dolphin plugin thing. Well, I know I use LastPass for password management, and they have a plugin for Dolphin that I use, and it works great.
Yeah, but what you would need for the plugin would have to create the button on the side, like try the Read It Later plugin, just as a. And it would need to allow you to pop up a list of the existing things stored in Instapaper in order to pull them into the browser.
I think that's it's investigation worthy.
Just remember, folder support.
Folder support. All
because
right.
Folders are very important for me. Because I like to keep things organized. And I'm looking for this to replace another product that I have been using, Xmarks, which syncs my bookmarks across multiple browsers and multiple platforms. So I'm thinking Instapaper could solve that for me.
I use Instapaper pretty much for what I think it was designed for, which is I don't want to read this right now. I'll read it later. So when I read it later and after I've read it, I delete it. Yes. So my list of things to read is fairly short.
Well, for me, as somebody who reads up for this program and for Gadget Wisdom and for my duties as the Category 5 newsroom correspondent and whatever other thing, I end up with a lot of stuff that I thought was interesting that I haven't gotten to reading. So I have thousands of bookmarks of stuff that I forgot to go back to, news stories and all these different topics. So the nice thing about Instapaper is I could have those compiled into a Kindle book and actually send them to the Kindle. They actually have that built into the site. So there are all these things that I could do to try to actually get to read all that material that I thought was interesting, but I didn't really have time to look at in depth. So I think it's actually a good option, and then my bookmark section would actually be for sites instead of for news articles. But that's
I like
me.
It.
I tried Read It Later, but Instapaper has folders. I want folders. Folders are important.
See, it always seems like it comes down to that one feature that just makes or breaks you.
Which is why I'm considering giving the guy in Poland $4. but yep. I haven't yet because when I was looking at it, I didn't have my PayPal dongle.
Oh, you're a dongle user.
I thought it was an interesting thing to try. When they came out, I figured $5, I would be the guy with the dongle. Early adoption. Sometimes it hurts you, sometimes it doesn't. And let's see what else we have here. We have we have Developer's Corner. We'll get to that. Let's get to voicemail, I guess. So we had our first voicemail.
Hello, Jerry. Hello, Guru. Had to leave you guys a voicemail because you guys inking voicemail. My name is Steve McLaughlin, the door-to-door geek. Any podcast I like that advertises a number, I try to leave voicemail, and I got to say, I thoroughly enjoy your podcast, A, because you're both real people, B, Jerry's a developer. I love hearing that point of view. I really get excited when I see your guys' podcast, my feed. I really like the apps that you bring out, the topics that you bring out, and I especially want to thank Guru for his screenshots of the apps. That's always a very nice touch. I can't wait to hear some more shows from you guys. Please keep it up. Have a good day.
How was that?
Excellent. I like it, especially when, you know, he says he likes us because of me.
Well, he also said he liked my screenshots.
Well, yes.
Well, that does bring, he did send back a follow-up where he mentioned a product he wanted us to look at.
Hello, Guru. Hello, Jerry. This is Steve McLaughlin, the door geek. I know I already left a voicemail. What I forgot to mention was home launchers. I'm kind of liking Zeam, Z-E-A-M, because it has a lot of the Launcher Pro features I liked, but it seems to be a little bit lighter. I don't even know if there's a paid version because it never nags me. And it does seem like I've gotten a couple updates, not a lot, with Launcher Pro. I know it seemed like I was getting a good amount of updates. So I just wanted to throw that one into the ring. All right, guys. Later.
So I took some screenshots of Zeam Launcher. It's a very nice little lightweight product. And let's look at some screenshots. I also took some screenshots of InstaFetch before I forget, which I will put into the show notes so that you can enjoy them.
Yay.
And somebody likes my screenshots, so that, you know, that is an encouragement for me
to
make sure that I put in more screenshots.
Oh, there's no two?
There's a two.
Put in a I'm two. Getting a 404 on two.
Okay. Let's see. I have... Let's go back to the list. I have a 1, a 2, a 3, and a 4 for Zeem.
Ah, I overwrote the period.
Okay.
My fault. I can't type.
Yes. And I also sent you the InstaFetch one so you can enjoy them. And as you can see, it is very similar to Launcher Pro, which is my current launcher of choice. I decked it out in a similar manner. And it has the taskbar at the bottom, which if you add more items than can fit, it will slot. You can slide it back and forth. And if you want to take an item out, if you long press the item, it will come up with the settings thing where you can move it to the left. You can move it all the way to the left, or you can remove it from the bar. It also offers some additional actions that are not offered on Launcher Pro, but I wish they were. Open applications, move to default screen, screen previews. And if you look at back to Zeem 1, which is the first picture, you can see that you can add one of those open apps or one of these other actions to the home screen. So you can actually have an icon on the home screen that opens up your app drawer, which I have not seen another launcher do.
Which interesting. Is a feature.
It also allows you to configure swipe up on the screen, swipe down, the action of the home button, and the default double tap action.
Wow, there's a double tap?
Yes, I mentioned it when we did PowerStrip, that you could set a double tap for it to launch something.
That's interesting.
Yes. Double taps are good.
Non-intuitive, but good to have them.
Well, to launch another thing quickly. And what do you think? It's a nice little launcher, I think.
It is. My concern with launchers is that they all are pretty much following the same idea, a bar across the bottom, icons / and widgets, which granted is a good jump over the iPhone, but you know, I'm waiting for somebody to come up with a launcher that is just, it's different.
There actually were two that I could think of that were extremely different than standard. Perhaps I will mention one of them next week.
But you know what I mean? ADW, Launcher Pro.
Yes, they are all similar because they're all derived from the stock launcher. But I could think of at least two that don't look anything like the stock launcher. So I will see about that. And we have one more voicemail.
Hey there, this is David from Tempe, cell phone enthusiast, rocking a original Droid, CyanogenMod rooted, and just wanted to say that I could be the first person to leave a voicemail. Seems how on the last podcast you guys complained that nobody would ever leave voicemail, so I wanted to say you guys do a great job, and then I would like to ask a question. I have a rooted Droid, CyanogenMod 6.0, and I'm getting a lot of error 18, and I was wondering if maybe you could explain when I'm trying to download an application from the market, specifically Angry Birds. And the reason I ask again is because it's actually not on my phone, so I can't do any of the workarounds that I've read on forums about moving the phone from the SD card back to the phone internal memory and then downloading an update. So I was wondering if maybe you know what's going on or if you could give me any help there. Thanks.
So did you find anything?
Well, both of us do not use CyanogenMod, although I do have to compliment his tastes in original Droid. So I did do a little research and there were some suggestions in regards to Error 18, but I think some of these are the ones that he looked at, which were that you can try deleting market data, wiping the cache, and attempting to install apps directly over ADB. But so in this case, neither of us use CyanogenMod, so we've never experienced this before.
Actually, neither one of us has even rooted our phone.
Well, someday maybe. But
you know, I was so giving it a lot of thought today about rooting. I was doing a lot of research on rooting and specifically unrooting. But okay, neither here nor there.
Yes, but I did include a link to what I found, which cover from XDA developers, which covers this. And somebody actually references that it was only Angry Birds that wouldn't install, and they have some specific notes on what they did. So check that out. That will be in the notes. And we are sorry you were number two, but we hope to have many number threes, fours, fives, sixes, and sevens. So get your voicemail in for next week and you can be on the air with us.
You can be a star. Yes. You know, because we would play their voice on the... Never mind. Okay.
Well, I guess that moves us to Developer's Corner.
Did we talk about the... Okay, we did the... Oh. You know, before we get to that... Well, I don't know. Actually, maybe this is a little bit of Dev Corner. I was listening to the Android App Addicts. That's the podcast that Steve, our
first
voicemail listener, or
who will always have a special place in our heart.
He will. Yes. And I like their podcast, so their podcast will have a spot on my playlist. But I heard him mention that you have 48 hours to return an app when you download it. We'll have a link in the show notes to the market policies. It's actually 24 hours that a user, that the downloader, the user can initiate a refund. However, if you talk to the, if you send an email or communicate with the developer, they have an extra day on top of that that they can refund your money without any problems. So 24 hours for you to do it by yourself, another 24 hours where the developer can do it without any issues. And that was that. Okay, now, Guru, I got a question for you.
I'm listening.
Let's say you download an application, a paid application. You paid for it. You've got the app. And then in your email box, you see an email from the developer of that application saying, "Yo, dude, thanks for buying my app. Tell me what you think of it, blah, blah, blah." What is your reaction?
That's sort of interesting. No one's ever done that. Have you ever actually experienced that?
No.
Well, it, but certainly, you know, I would say that a standard thank you email sent to the person's email address would not necessarily be anything I'd object to, as long as I had the choice whether or not I wish to provide feedback or not. Maybe I don't want to say anything. Maybe I want to be nice, and maybe the app is a horrible one that I don't want to necessarily say anything about. But when I like something, I certainly say it.
My initial thought was this might be a little bit creepy, because when you buy an app from the App Store, you don't think that your business, who you are dealing with, is with Google, as far as you can tell. You're downloading it from Google. You're sending Google your money. So you don't expect that the developers have your email address, right?
Well, I'd sort of like to respond to that in a different way. Bear in mind that, let's say you buy something from Amazon through their marketplace, where you buy a third-party item, you'll get an email from Amazon acknowledging the purchase, and you'll get another one from the actual fulfillment company, whoever's selling through their marketplace.
Right, but even then you're talking about goods that are being sent to you from somewhere else. Well, so
yeah, and it is the same sort of thing. The developer is sending you a welcome email.
I just thought it might be considered a little bit creepy, so I went over to the Android Stack Exchange and asked the question.
What was your response?
I got a wild range of responses, and responses I had absolutely – I was floored. I did not expect these responses.
Could you give me some examples?
Okay, they went all the way from that'd be kind of cool to it would be considered spam, intrusive, and the app would be immediately uninstalled.
Maybe it's better to go with a pop-up on the first startup.
One of the pieces of advice was, don't email the user. Just if you want to thank them on the next update, make a little pop-up saying, "Yo, you beat version 1.0 buyers. Thank you very much. I appreciate it." But I'm curious what our listeners would think about that. Now, I'm not talking about an automated thank you for buying my app. Here are 14 other apps that I've made that would you buy these? I mean, a simple, yo, dude, thanks. I really appreciate it. You know, not form, but me actually typing it out myself, not an automated thing. I'm curious what our listeners would think about that.
Well, if you have an opinion on this, at the end of the show, of course, we'll have Susan there to tell you how you could phone us. You could send us an email. You could send us an email with an audio attachment. You could even send us an email with a video link. Although, of course, as this is an audio program, we would only play the audio. But we would, of course, look at the video.
Now, I do want to clarify that the developer does not have your email address. What he gets is like a Google checkout anonymized email address, kind of like a Craigslist email.
Yes, which they have the option there whenever you go through Google checkout on a computer, which is they can intercept the emails and allow you to be anonymous.
Well, when you buy an app, it appears to be the norm.
Okay.
They anonymize those. So the developer doesn't have an email address, but he has a way of sending you an email. And I'm just curious what our listeners would think about that.
Well, you can include a comment in the show notes as well as the email, the voicemail, the audio message, etc. So we look forward to hearing from you.
And I'd like to add that this is not some hypothetical, theoretical, let's just do a study. My future actions are likely to be based on the feedback that we get. So help me not make a whole bunch of people mad, or just help me out. And okay, Developer's Corner. Okay. I don't even know if this will make sense to you, but it is possible to write applications for Android phones without even having an Android phone, right?
Yes.
Okay, you do that via an emulator, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you can set up a lot of various qualities of the emulator: resolution, density, network speed, network latency, blah, blah, bloody blah. Well, one of the most important things for most people that are for most apps and situations is you create an SD card for it. And it's just an IMG file of whatever size the SD card is sitting on your hard drive. And inside Eclipse and using the Android tools, there are ways to get files onto and off of that SD card, but they suck because it's move a file at a time. You can't create directories. You can't delete directories. You can copy a file onto it. And if there are any directories it needs to make to put the file where it's supposed to go, then it will create those directories, but you can't really do anything other than that, which if you're trying to test, write something that is going to use a lot of data that would be on the SD card, and you want to get all that data onto your mock SD card, it's kind of a pain. Now, if this was a standard ISO format, then it wouldn't be a problem because there are a ton of programs out there that can mount ISO files, right?
Under Windows, I'm sure there are.
Or if you're using Linux, then it's not even that big a deal because you just mount the image file as a loopback device and call it a day.
Yes, it's so much easier under Linux.
Yes.
Can we tempt you, Jerry?
No.
Come to the dark side.
Well, it's not that easy on Windows. If I have tried before, I actually went out and looked for a solution. I tried Magic ISO. I tried probably four or five different programs that create a virtual drive for the purposes of mounting images. Demon Tools, Alcohol, several. But they don't work because even though it ends in .img, it's not an image file that they understand. Okay, so the long story, to wrap up this really long story, I have found a way to mount these image files as a drive so that you can mess with them just like any other drive. And the secret is the iMDisk virtual disk driver. And we will have notes and we'll have a link in the show notes to the blog post that taught me how to do this. It's extremely easy to follow. The only thing that can make it difficult is if you're running Windows Vista or Windows 7 and you've got UAC. Although if you're a developer, you probably have UAC turned off. So you don't even need a reboot. Install it and Oh, it made my life so much easier this week, and I loved it. And that's Dev Corner for this week. And that would mean that's the show for this week, right?
Yeah, so let's cut over to Susan so that she can tell everyone where to find us.
If you'd like to leave a voicemail for us, you can call 2012-WENICA. That's 2012-936-322. You can send us an email at podcast@androidbuffet.com or use the contact form on the website. You can follow us on Twitter @AndroidBuffet. Guru is the editor of Gadget Wisdom at www.gadgetwisdom.com or on Twitter @GadgetWisdom. Jerry is the creator of Show Analyzer and the co-host of HTP Centric. You can find him at jerry.jones@gmail.com or on Twitter @Jerry_Jones. My name is Susan and I live inside Guru's droid. And now, a final word from Guru and Jerry.
I guess that brings us to another conclusion.
Well, let's also, I'd like to send out another reminder to our listeners to stop over and check out the Android app addicts.com. They're over on podnuts.com.
Yes, and we will have a link in the show notes to them.
They are also different than us. They really don't deal with news a whole lot. They've got three guys that come on and they talk about apps, the apps that they're using. Sometimes they're new, sometimes they're old, but it's good stuff.
Well, maybe sometime we'll have to have them stop by.
Or maybe we could crash their party.
I hear they do video.
Justin.tv, from what I understand.
Yes. Are you going to consent to being on camera, Jerry?
No, of course not.
Okay, well, we'll put up. What we'll do is we'll put up one of those drawings with the three circles to designate where our mouth might be, or a sock puppet.
Ooh, sock puppet! That would be good. Yes,
we do the whole show with a sock puppet.
Now that would be an interesting twist.
So, the guys over at Android App Addicts, get back to us if you want to see our sock puppets.
Oh, that sounded so dirty.
I don't try to be dirty. It just sort of comes out, doesn't
oh,
it?
Oh, that was we got in now. We got to
see you next week, everybody.
Bye.